year and a very happy new Koshcast, in which we round up the latest from the Premiership. Chelsea's caning by Spurs, Chesney's flailing errors, and Leicester taming Rodgers, all covered. Now, which football competition has something in common with Harry Potter? That's right, it's the FA Cup, and it's bloody magical. We'll take a look at the headlines before swinging through Spain, where it's Surreal Madrid as Ancelotti's men are finally defeated, and Bernie's family comes into play. All this, a brief transfer roundup, and our blockbuster mid-season report on this week's Koshcast.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Koshcast. My name is Roche and I have two beautiful people next to me. One of them is Mr. Bernie. How are you doing?
I'm so flattered, so honored to be beautiful and be known just for my looks and not for my brains.
Joga bonita, joga Bernie.
Ooh.
I think bonita is beautiful, so I just said game Bernie.
Oh, okay. I take it back now.
And the second beautiful person in the room is Alex.
The beautiful people. The beautiful people.
Alex, Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. Good, I got that reference. Yeah, it was good.
So musical when Mohan is not around.
It is quite musical. And yes, Mohan is not with us today, but he will be shortly.
We don't care. Roche, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing spectacular because Mohan is not here.
Awesome.
Harsh but fair.
Huh?
Harsh but fair.
Harsh but fair, yes, and very honest. In other news, we have our EPL mid-season report, which has been recently published. And a lot of good things on there.
Congratulations to Bernie for putting that together, because it was a mammoth article.
Yeah.
A lot of contributions from us, and a lot of information he had to compile. And it came together very nicely, I think.
Synthesis.
There were a lot of arguments that went into this thing.
Yeah.
Should we just not do a recap, but I think a couple of things here. Best player, Roche, you really wanted David De Gea.
Yes, I did. David De Gea has undoubtedly and unquestionably been the best player of the season so far.
Well, it's clearly not unquestionable, because we all questioned it.
Well, you guys questioned it.
Correct.
But I was... Okay, so I think what happened was we were up and debating between Aguero and De Gea.
And Sanchez.
And so we said if we were going to pick Aguero and Sanchez together, it would be a crime not to pick De Gea. So we had to pick De Gea in one of those two. And then because of Aguero's injuries and, you know, De Gea's consistent performances, it swung in De Gea's favor.
Well, it didn't, because we picked Sanchez.
Well, up until a week ago, I was all on the the Aguero boat. But then I saw how well City were doing without him.
Yeah.
And the whole premise was he was carrying them, so he's not. So then it's De Gea and Sanchez who are both carrying their teams.
Yeah.
And you don't really give it to a goalkeeper, even though you want to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sanchez is just the player that I really think that the Premier League needed to see. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't disagree with Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, no.
He's the hero the Premiership deserves, or something.
Yeah, Player of the Year already.
Vaguely Batman reference.
BFA Player of the Year coming up, Alexis Sanchez.
It's going to be hard to look past him if he continues this form.
Yeah.
That said, he's an Arsenal player, so he'll probably get injured soon.
Yep, yeah. Someone else got injured today. But we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. Bernie, there's something else that came out of the report.
Another one was the goals.
The goals was, we can't even go into that. We have so many good ones. I think they're not as outstanding as last season, I feel, but which almost makes it more difficult to pick.
Yeah.
I had Ener Valencia's absolute rocket.
Yeah.
Against Hull City.
Yeah.
You had Phil Jagielka.
Phil Jagielka's howitzer.
Filbert. You renamed him because the goal was so good.
My life changed at that moment.
Mohamed had a Graziano Pelle's beautiful acrobatic overhead kick, overhead flick. And Alex had a Angel Di Maria.
Yes, a sensational run and lob of Kasper Schmeichel.
It was a great lob, yes,
yeah.
Indeed. A famous win for Leicester City as well.
Yeah.
In one of the games of the season so far, which is another category that we had in our article.
Did that game win? I think it did, didn't it?
It was Leicester Man United.
Yeah, there was it had everything.
Yeah.
Roller coaster of emotions.
Absolutely.
I'll say for the rest of it, go check out the article, because there is a lot there, and we have to dedicate a whole podcast to that article.
But there are videos, there are GIFs, all sorts of fun.
But now we have entered January, and with January comes the winter transfer window.
Yeah.
Of which Barcelona are banned. Still.
Yeah, their appeal got rejected.
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I thought that CAS would have done what CAS usually does and just overturned anything that FIFA says.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that, and now they can't buy anyone for two windows.
Or good, good thing we bought the Milan, eh?
I know.
Future injury-less player.
Yep.
Not. But there are some transfer rumors coming. Today we heard something about Wilfred Bony going to Real Madrid.
No. No. Shut up.
I think we heard that from Mohamed himself, so it's probably a good thing he's not here today.
He's over in Dubai making up rumors.
Yep. So in results from the weekend, we had some interesting fixtures over the Christmas break. A lot of games in the EPL were played. I think 3 games in 5 days between Boxing Day and New Year's Day.
Hard to keep up with them for us, let alone the players.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it showed in their legs because there were some surprise results.
Do we want a Christmas break?
It's difficult. I you know, you really enjoy having all that football to watch over the Christmas period. It's really nice. It's really fun. It's like the World Cup. Like, there's always football on, mm-hmm. almost. But you can see that it's having a negative effect on the players. So I don't know about a break, but maybe like at least one less fixture. You know, instead of 3 games in 6 days or whatever it is, maybe 2.
No, I have to agree with that because they played a game on Boxing Day, so the 26th.
Yep.
Then they immediately played a game on the 28th,
mm-hmm.
right after that, which could have been avoided.
And then New Year's.
And then New Year's.
Yeah, so maybe like take out the one on the 28th, perhaps.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
I agree with that.
I mean, as opposed to other leagues where, you know, Spain had about 10 days off, Italy had about 2 weeks off, and Germany have been off for... Well,
they've been off since, what,
23rd, December 21st.
2013, I think. Yeah, they've taken a year off.
Until January 30th. So it's just, what I wonder what they're doing right now.
No, in England, they just keep talking about, the you know, playing and playing and playing. And even this, remember that nonsense about the 19th, not the 19th,
the 39th game.
Some foreign location? What would that be, like an all-star game? Or every team has a 39th game against what? Like,
yeah, God knows.
It actually doesn't make any sense.
No, there's no
They'd
sense.
Be playing like a Chinese 11.
The owner would take the starting lineup, as he did when Drogba was there.
So every team has preseason early.
Basically, yeah.
Nonsense.
I mean, yeah, you know, what can you say? But there were some interesting results. So the most recent fixture list was with Stoke and United being the first game. 1-1 draw.
But can't lie, it was boring.
It really was.
Absolutely boring.
Was it a cold Tuesday at Stoke?
Falcao could do it on a cold Tuesday.
his knee didn't freeze up.
He scored. You know, well, firstly, who was it? Was it Shawcross scored from a corner,
mm-hmm.
For Stoke, which is, you know, they've had trouble doing that recently, which is not like Stoke, but, you know, they did that against United. And then Falcao equalized from a Michael Carrick flick from the corner. And then after that, the game was weird in that United had all the ball, Stoke had a bunch of chances. So it was really, really interesting for me to see. But it was quite boring. I thought Van Persie went back to Van Persie of 6 or 7 games ago, which was absolutely pathetic, and they took off Falcao instead.
Yeah, do you think it's interesting that United have struggled to pick up points away from home this season?
I don't know if I'd say it's a surprise, really. This is a team that had trouble last season doing that. They've improved the home form.
Well, to be fair, last season they had a better away record than a home record.
Yeah.
This season that's turned complete opposite.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. You're right.
Can I just say something about the Shawcross goal?
Sure.
We always see players scoring against their former teams and doing this useless non-celebration where, you know, they clearly want to celebrate but they downplay it and what have you. I just really like that Shawcross just celebrated and got on with it.
I mean, he's more of a Stoke player than he ever was a United player anyway.
Granted.
So he might as well. I agree with you. I don't like this non... I get it if you're Cristiano Ronaldo against Manchester United,
sure.
or some legend.
Lampard against Chelsea.
Yeah, I get that.
Fair enough.
But
like,
you know, if you're... who do I think is a peasant?
Daniel Higginbotham.
No, if you're Joanne and score against Swansea, I don't think anyone cares.
No.
So you might as well celebrate at that point.
Sure. I mean, I didn't even know that Ryan Shawcross was a United Academy product. So
what? You're a United fan?
Yeah. Shame on you. You know, Football Manager educates, and I hadn't played in 15 years. other results, we had not so much a shock anymore, but Hull City 2-0 against Everton.
I think that is a shock. I know Everton have been in through horrendous form and still are.
Well, let's just clarify where Everton are. They're 13th place right now.
Correct. But Hull have also been in equally horrendous form. I don't think they haven't, before this game, they hadn't won a game in like months, I think. So still a bit of a shock.
They picked up a point away at Goodison Park recently. I guess they got 4 points against Everton this season, which is a big deal for them.
Well, most people will, apparently. Yeah.
Even without Tatem Ben Arfa, apparently he's missing still.
He's about to sign for Nice.
Does Steve Bruce know about this?
Probably not.
No. That's interesting. No. But it's just horrendous. I mean, Everton are shambles right now.
Absolutely.
When players start coming out with statements like, we're all behind Martinez, you know that something is going wrong when they have to make statements like that. Yeah. And he needs to figure it out because he's pulling a Wigan right now.
Absolutely. Fully agree with that. And on the point about Steve Bruce not knowing where Hatem Ben Arfa is,
yeah,
it's not the first time that's happened, because a couple of seasons ago, Asamoah Gyan signed for a team in the Middle East, and Steve Bruce had no knowledge of this.
Is that true, though?
That was true. Steve Bruce was flipping the tables and throwing chairs around the room when he found out.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, the chairman agreed to it without Bruce knowing. That's
unbelievable.
True.
But this was when he was in Sunderland.
Good player, yeah.
So the next result, moving on then, was Liverpool 2-2 against Leicester City.
Threw it away.
Absolutely.
Threw it away.
Yeah. Oh God, Alex, no.
They looked so good, though. They looked, I mean, this was a bit of a Chris Danball kind of thing. Obviously not to that extent, but they were 2-0 up. They're cruising, two Gerrard penalties, one down to the left, one down to the right. You know, easy as you like. And then all of a sudden, Leicester fought their way back into it.
Yeah, you know, Liverpool coming off a 4-1 victory against Swansea in the previous game.
Yeah.
Inflated victory because Jonjo Shelvey just forgot which shirt he was wearing.
No, he knows. Jonjo Shelvey scored more goals for Liverpool against Liverpool than Balotelli scored for Liverpool, which is hilarious. But like you said, Liverpool threw it away, and I think their confidence just took a hell of a beating after this, because, you know, they started the Arsenal game, giving them a bit of confidence, getting the last minute draw. Then they go to Swansea, they win that game clearly, and then they come here and they blow that. And it's like, you know, you take one step forward and then 10 steps back. Like,
yep.
It's just, come on, get it together.
I saw a headline recently that said, and I don't know whether this is a direct quote, but I really hope it is, Mignolet, I've got nothing to prove.
Really?
Because he's proved it all.
Yeah, he has to prove that he can kick a ball, he has to prove he can catch a ball. There's so many things he has to prove.
Yeah, with that, Liverpool in 8th place, we're on 29 points, and they're 5 points behind Tottenham, who are in 5th.
Yeah.
So 5 points is not so much.
Should we talk about Tottenham?
We can move on to the Tottenham game right now, actually, yes. Tottenham with a big, big win.
Absolutely massive.
Absolutely huge win against Chelsea, 5-3. They were up 4-1 in this game, 5-2, ended 5-3. What are your takes?
I think they caned Chelsea.
Hey.
Thank you.
A lot of hard work went into that one.
A lot of hard work. Did anyone see this coming? I don't think
anyone
in their right minds. If anyone bet on this, they're rich. No one did.
I'm sure of that. What I thought would happen is that, you know, Tottenham have been in much better form lately. They put a good run of results together. And Chelsea have been in worse form. So I thought we'd just see a less convincing Chelsea win. And it did look like that was going to be the way. You know, Tottenham started very well. Diego Costa scored a very typically Chelsea goal, you know, they're not really in the game, and Hazard piece of moment of magic, and then they're 1-0 up, and for the next 10-15 minutes Chelsea just absolutely dominated the game. Tottenham didn't know where to hit them, and then they got the equaliser out of absolutely nothing. Superb goal by Harry Kane,
yeah.
Just like slaloming through the Chelsea defence and slamming it into the corner, and from that moment on it was just a completely mental game.
Yeah, it's moments like that that change games, and Harry Kane scored two fantastic goals in this game. But I was personally responsible for the write-up and the preview for this match, and I think I was in sync with everyone in the sense that I just believed that it was going to be a Chelsea win through and through, altogether. And so it was a big shock to see that they were thumped 5-3 at White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
Bernie, what's your take on this game?
The way I saw it, you know, I thought it would be a very easy...
Routine
Chelsea victory.
Yeah.
But then what ended up happening at the end of that was, you know... Tottenham, every time they went forward, actually looked like they were going to score.
Yeah.
Chelsea also looked like they were going to score, but they just didn't score.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting, back and forth that the two teams were having.
Yeah.
And Hazard looked absolutely fantastic.
Oh,
yeah. One of the best performances I've seen him have, and they lost.
He was astonishing. Just two very quick standout moments for me. One, when you're talking about Hazard, was it the goal to make it 4-2? When Fazio dallied on the ball, got intercepted, and it took Hazard and Fabregas combined about 3 seconds to just bomb up the pitch, exchange a 1-2, and slam it into the corner. It was so quick and so precise.
It really was.
It was stunning.
Absolutely.
And then the other last thing is just to give props to Nasser Chadli, who has so far in his Tottenham career looked like a bang average player, but really stepped up in this game.
With the exception of that fantastic volley.
I know you love that.
No, one. Granted, he scored some good goals, but his general play has looked really average. But yeah. I haven't seen anyone give Branislav Ivanovic as torrid a time as Andrew Chadli.
He really
and that
did.
Is mm-hmm. that is a huge compliment.
And perhaps the New Year's Day Blues.
And I heard one crazy comment from this game, and I really want to wring John Terry's neck for this. And he said that Harry Kane could be as good as Messi and Ronaldo. Did you guys see
why
that?
Why do people do this?
You know what? His PR team paid him to say that.
Like,
no
maybe he said that to try and derail the kid's career and
yeah.
and you know, blow up his ego or
has
something.
To be,
but
it
you can't say that.
You don't remember what happened to Joe Cole when Gerrard said it.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
That's great. So we're going to talk about City next, but before we get there, I just want to mention that Tottenham have climbed up to fifth place.
Yep.
So they have been picking up those points, and they are in fifth, which is good for them. And Chelsea are first still. Identical goal difference with City. Same on points. Identical records in 2014
yeah.
with City.
They're
only
top alphabetically.
Yeah.
And City got there by beating... Who did they beat?
City
Sunderland.
Beat Sunderland 3-2.
Yeah.
After dropping two valuable points to Burnley in the previous match day. Both at home.
This is a really good win for City. And I know it may not seem that on the face of it because, you know, they're playing Sunderland. But Sunderland always do well against Man City.
Yep.
They tend to get a draw or a win, and so it was really good for City to come in. And Lampard, you know, on the day, was it the day that they announced that he'd be staying?
Yes,
I think
was.
So. And
yes,
he comes in and does what Lampard does with the winning goal.
Yeah,
could have had a hat trick in about 10 minutes too.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And they played with a striker this game, and the striker scored.
Yeah,
good for them. And so, two horse race at the top right now, 46 points in the third place team, 37 points, 9 points behind the leaders.
It's gonna be a two-horse race all the way.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
So that's our roundup from the league.
Let's stay. Hold on. Before we go into whatever else, which is, you know, FA Cup and the rest of the world. As a United fan, I hate to do this, but I think we kind of have to talk about the Premier League career of Steven Gerrard now that he's announced that he's moving
yes.
on and probably going to MLS. It
yep.
seems. I guess we have to eulogize the man a little bit because he is a Premier League legend.
Yeah, best player in the world.
The gaffer and I had a talk.
That was horrible. Don't do that. But, I mean, he hasn't won the Premier League, but let's not use that to knock him down,
no.
even though he slipped up a couple times. But Steven Gerrard has been a fantastic player
yeah, you know
his
what?
Career.
You know what? He's got two FA Cups, which he won single-handedly, at least one of them. And he also had a Champions League trophy over there.
Yeah.
Over there, yeah. Which he single-handedly won as well. Against all odds, a famous victory. And he's got a couple of League Cups under his belt too. So he has won trophies. He's been a quality player. He's always been a thorn in the side of every United fan. Because if there was anyone on another team that you had to give respect to, it's Gerrard. And yes, he played for Liverpool, but you have to respect him. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I think there are very few players who you can say, and you mentioned him winning the Champions League final single-handedly. I think that might be a tad generous, but he was certainly the driving force. And there are very few players that you can look at and say that person has the ability to change a game
yeah.
on their own, you know. And he's one of them. Although I heard I can't remember which journalist I heard talking about it, but it was a very interesting point that Gerrard's best two seasons, one of which was earlier on in his career when he was played on the right of midfield, and the other. Was the year that Liverpool nearly won the title under Benitez when he played as the number 10
with the Torres Alonso Gerrard trio.
Torres Alonso Mascherano Gerrard. Yeah,
Mascherano-Gerrard.
Exactly. And so that raised an interesting point, which is that is he a central midfielder? Has he kind of been rammed into the idea of a central midfielder, or is he more than something else?
The thing about Steven Gerrard that I love to respond to that is. And I hate that I just said that I love. But the thing about Steven Gerrard is there was a point in time around, I want to say 2004, when I remember saying this clearly, I said if there was a player I would just spend $50 million on, it would have been Steven Gerrard. Because Steven Gerrard does not need a position. He's, in a sense, he reminds me, or Wayne Rooney reminds me a bit of him in that sense, in that Steven Gerrard can play anywhere, and because he has this determination and just will to play and make things happen, he'll make things happen from wherever he plays.
True.
And that's the type of thing that Liverpool needed when they didn't have that much quality, like at certain times, he would just make things happen. I remember some 50, like 40 yard blasts,
yeah.
just and some pinpoint, you know, some crazy crosses. He's that guy, wherever he is on the pitch, doesn't matter what it is, he will make something happen. And those type of players are few and far between.
That's true. Yeah. I want to get your guys' quick reaction to something before I make another point. But Jamie Carragher the other day said that Ross Barkley has to be the person to replace Gerrard.
That's stupid.
I'm not sure how to respond to that because Jamie Carragher might have had a brain fart over there with respect to what team Ross Barkley currently plays for.
No, I think he took into account that he would need to be transferred.
Okay.
Other point is, Gerrard's going to MLS very likely. Really hope he signs for New York City FC so that they can try and fit Gerrard and Lampard into the same midfield.
Yeah, you know, the rumor is that he's going to LA Galaxy to replace Donovan's exit.
I think that makes sense. I think that they know how to sign players, don't they? LA Galaxy.
And they have a manager who can actually bring in names like that too.
No, but it's great that the MLS is getting him at this point because he's still a good player right now.
I mean, you can have the long ball, the Gerrard to Robbie Keane connection, and that could work out.
I tweeted this the other day, but it's going to be amazing for Americans to try and understand a conversation between Steven Gerrard and Robbie Keane.
Well, we've talked enough about Steven Gerrard, and let's use that to go to our Moomoo of the Week.
Absolutely.
Moomoo
of the Week.
Of the Week.
Of the Week. And for our first candidate for this week's Moomoo, we have Karim Benzema of Real Madrid, superstar Galactico.
And skydiving fame.
And skydiving phenomenon. Yes.
So what did you do?
So he went skydiving this week. You know, Real Madrid just won the Club World Cup. You know, a lot of success, 23 wins in a row. And Benzema decided to go skydiving because I guess he earned it, according to himself. And promptly faced some disciplinary action from the Real Madrid hierarchy.
So who exactly is the moon? Benzema? Because he's not supposed to. Is that in his contract? Like, no skydiving?
It's presumably, like, extreme sports are pretty much in these players' contracts that they can't do them. It's a huge risk, right?
Yeah, you know what, it's a tough one, but when you have rumors circulating Wilfred Bony about to replace Benzema, you can't help yourself.
It would be awesome if we actually made this trend. Bony to Real Madrid.
That's a tough one to call, but that's Benzema for our first candidate, and then our second candidate is, once again, the Puma coat that is worn by...
Arsene Wenger.
Well, see, I don't want to... Is it the Puma... You know, yes. It is not Arsene Wenger who's the Moomoo here.
This time.
I give him that. Yeah. It is Puma as a company.
Yeah.
Because they came out with this whole advertising campaign around the fact that Nike couldn't make a decent jacket and Monsieur Wenger couldn't zip it up right. So, it's hilarious to me that...
stuck.
Exactly. So, they come up with this thing and the, you know, branding campaign that they... gonna help him with a jacket that will zip up properly, and promptly today against Hull he actually tried to zip it up and he gave up. So I think they're gonna get a speaking to over at Puma.
I think the zipper is a little bit handbrake.
Yeah, they should invest in some Velcro over there for Addison Wenger.
Velcro would be good.
Yeah. For him, yes.
Or some buttons.
Or some buttons. You
know, he can wear a peacoat like Fergie used to.
That's true. Peacoat's always good.
Possible, yeah.
You can button up that back four, too.
And our third Moomoo candidate is split between Edinson Cavani and Ezequiel Lavezzi.
Yeah. Well, Lavezzi's been quite active this week. I mean, not only did he and Cavani sod off to Argentina when they should have been on a PSG club trip to Morocco, but Lavezzi's also been banging on about how he doesn't actually like football that much. He thinks about retiring all the time. He would hate to be Messi because he wouldn't want all that limelight. He's happy to, in quotes, lurk in the shadows. Wow. So he's had a week.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, a little bit. I wouldn't want Lavezzi lurking in my shadows.
No, it's pretty dark.
Yeah, but so, you know, Blanc and who's the what's the name of the owner of PSG?
Khaled.
Yeah.
I don't know his last name.
Whatever. Anyway, he's promised disciplinary action.
Yeah, they banned them for one game.
Yeah, I'm gonna ban you from one game and help you think a little more about retirement.
Lavezzi's like, that's alright, I don't even like football.
Yeah, I'm looking to look in the shadows.
So it seems that this week's Moomoo of the Week is split between the players and the clubs.
A holistic approach.
Idiots, one and all.
Yes.
Alright, let's get into one of my favorite competitions, the Romantic FA Cup.
Yes, the roses are in the air today. And the first result of this romantic and majestic and oldest competition in English football,
hashtag magic of the FA Cup.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Man City versus Sheffield Wednesday match played at the Etihad Stadium, ending 2-1 for Manchester City. And James Milner, the unlikely hero for the citizens.
Is he that unlikely? He pops up when it's important, doesn't he?
Yeah, I guess when you're playing Sheffield Wednesday at home, it
he was the best player on the pitch. And what marquee name, number 7? Oh wait, that's United.
In fact, sorry, I just thought of this. could you compare James Milner to a piece of toast? He's ultimately really boring, but he pops up when you want him to.
Wow. Wow, Alex.
I think
wow.
I have to be fair and say that that was funnier before you explained why.
Fair enough.
So, City, the comeback winning in Sheffield Wednesday. Moving on to the next result, we had Yeovil Town, 0. Manchester United, 2.
What are you, the BBC? You just announced that it's like the BBC guys.
I have been practicing.
Oh, great.
Big, boring see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. So this game infuriated a couple of us.
I'm okay with a 2-0 victory away from home against a team that's trying to prove something. I'm fine with that. It is what it is. That's why it's the FA Cup. It's the only tournament where a little team can show up and almost beat a big team.
Roche, summarize very briefly why you were angry about this.
Yeah, United's away form has been questionable, to say the very least, this season. And we all expected a full-strength lineup today. We got a pretty decent team. I mean, the team that actually started today is a team that has been starting in the league at some point. So we've had, you know, premiership experienced players, you know, Paddy McNair or whatever. 0-0 at halftime, and you're going through, and you're seeing the chances, and you're seeing Yeovil Town with a lot of chances. And you're thinking, why is this game not 6-0 and 7-0? Yes, I'm being a bit spoiled here, but 2-0 final scoreline was a bit harsh on Yeovil Town in the end, and I think 1-0 might have been more than enough. Sad to say that.
I can't disagree with any of that.
Sure,
yeah. That's fine.
Take the win. Move on.
Moving on, we got Chelsea 3-0 against Watford.
Yeah.
Pretty standard result over there. I mean, what can you really say about it?
It was interesting to see some of Chelsea's kind of back line. You know, Felipe Luis got a game. Kurt Zouma, who's very interesting, scored a great header too.
I don't know what you're hoping for. Was that Ivory Coast?
Might have been an inside joke to myself.
Okay.
Never do that again. And then Loic Remy as well with a good goal.
Yes, Chelsea's fifth line striker, Loic Remy.
Is he fifth line?
Third.
What do they have?
Him and Drogba are like joint second, you know.
So Diego Costa, Drogba, Remy.
Yeah.
Drogba.
Okay, that's it.
And then they got Patrick Bamford, who's on loan at Middlesbrough.
All right.
Banging in the goals.
Torres.
Torres.
We'll
get to him later. And so the next result was Arsenal 2-0 against Hull.
Yep.
We saw this game and, you know, we had to say that Sanchez played, surprisingly.
Yeah, I would have thought this would be the kind of one opportunity to rest Alexis Sanchez, but apparently not.
Oh, he was dovetailing really well with Santi Cazorla.
Yeah, as he has been doing a lot recently. Yeah. I mean, the two of them actually have been in great form. And it seemed, you know, actually like a fairly routine win for Arsenal, which is not something you can say very often, but Per Mertesacker scoring from a header from a corner.
Yeah.
Just blows everything out of the water.
Absolutely impossible. The last time he was in a corner, he kind of ducked. So I'm happy that he actually stood up for this one.
Yeah. He couldn't really miss. He was like, yell it out.
Well, you know, given the nature of the chances Arsenal had in this game, that header was a bit soft to score the goal in the end.
What do you mean?
I mean, they had some clear-cut chances, some beautiful, incisive passing. They could have been 5-0, 6-0.
Well, I think the thing was that the best chances, Mohamed was angry about this. He was, you know, sending us messages about it. But the best chances fell to Joel Campbell and Theo Walcott. Now, Joel Campbell has barely played this season. He's got 2 minutes here, 2 minutes there, so... You know, he should have scored, but understandable that he'd be a bit rusty. And then Theo Walcott came back from a long injury. 2014, basically, you know, as the commentator said, didn't happen for him. And then he you know, showed that he was a bit rusty too. So the two players that missed the best chances, I think it's fairly understandable.
It's a big improvement from the last fixture Arsenal played, isn't it?
Exactly. Forgot to talk about the obliteration, demolition, destruction. 2-0 Southampton beat Arsenal.
Yeah, but it wasn't really, was it, though? It was just Chesney giving them 2 goals.
See, we don't care, Alex. We don't care. It's just one of you, and it's two of us.
Yeah, Chesney didn't start today.
No, Ospina came in, which was nice to see. No, I mean, the Southampton game, yeah, Arsenal were very poor. They created a couple of chances before gifting Southampton 2 goals.
And our next FA Cup game, surprise or not, you know, it could go either way, but QPR 0, Sheffield United 3.
Should be a surprise, but isn't really.
Did Chet Evans play?
No.
Okay.
Chet Evans doesn't play for anyone.
I know. They decided not to sign him. I just felt like I had to say that.
Yeah.
No Charlie Austin heroics today either.
No, he did start though. He Leroy for Ferdinand and Corker all started the game, but no, QPR are just
Ferdinand starting
shite.
What?
Yeah.
Right. Shite, shambles, anything else you can stick in there with a synonym. And so we have an interesting result. And it's Bolton 1-0 against Wigan.
Yeah.
But there are some interesting points to take away from this game, Alex. I'll let you have these.
Yeah, I mean, the other games we're covering are just Premiership games, or games with Premiership sides in them. This one isn't, but I thought it would be worth mentioning because, A, Malky Mackay, racist moo-moo, has lost 6 of his first 8 games to Wigan, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
You know, get what you deserve.
Rejoice.
Second thing is, Bolton deserve credit. Neil Lennon took over there and he's doing a very good job. They're playing very well. But also, they recently signed Emil Heskey and Idaga Johnson, which I think we can all agree is just fantastic.
And we are sure that this is not their coaching staff additions.
Nope, nope. Playing staff.
Talk about Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Just, it's wonderful. And they actually, in their previous league game, they combined for a goal. Good Johnson got an assist for a Heskey goal.
Oh, great. And about that, so there was a fan on Twitter who said if Emil Heskey scores, he would clean Emil Heskey's boots.
Yeah.
So he actually had to do it.
Yeah. I love it when that happens.
Let's just do a quick run through. Leicester beat Newcastle 1-0. Shocking. Not really.
John Carver.
Tranmere got destroyed by Swansea 6-2. West Brom beating the hell out of Gateshead. Yeah. 7-0.
They couldn't.
Tony Pulis with the new manager effect on West Bromwich. Big 7-0 win with Berahino with 4 goals. I'm surprised he's not linked to Real Madrid now.
Yeah, probably. He will be.
Yes.
I think this is a wonderful opportunity for us to talk about a certain player in our scouting report.
Let's do it. Mesut Ozil.
Not what Arsenal needed. Absolute joke when it comes to effort. I can't believe how lazy the guy is. He's not going to be a Premiership player. They should get rid of him, recoup at least 20 million.
Wow.
Interesting news this week.
Yeah.
With some good developments in the managerial aspect of the game, with Tony Pulis taking over of West Bromwich Albion.
I like that you said that, because when you said good developments, I was like, oh, people losing their jobs is never good.
Yeah, it's hard.
No, but you like to see West Brom, you know, they're going to be going on the up now, because Tony Pulis, class act, no dispute.
Granted. Yeah, I mean, Alan Irvin never really convinced anyone.
Yeah. I'm not sure many people actually were, you know, familiar with his existence.
Well, you weren't. But
I have to hold
my hands up and say I called him anonymous and he'd be sacked really early, which he kind of was. Yeah, so I wasn't wrong. Thank you.
He's one of those guys, he's one of those guys that if you talk to the players, allegedly they'll all say he's a really great coach, but maybe he doesn't have the management skills.
The media personality.
Yeah, definitely.
Le je ne sais quoi.
But Tony Pulis is a coup of an appointment for West Brom.
The man climbed Mount Everest.
I feel bad for Pulis though. Why? Because I was watching, there was an interview with him recently, and he said, you know what, I don't want to be known my whole career as the guy that saves teams from relegation. Like, he wanted his Stoke thing to, you know, to continue and to take Stoke up, and he sounded like he thought that he was good enough to manage, I don't know, Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Kind of like Al-Adici.
A little bit, but he's got the West Brom job, and let's see what he does.
Allardyce, our manager of the season so far, not to mention.
Yes, sir.
Some other teams have some interesting developments as well. Alan Pardew.
Yeah.
Leaving Newcastle and his 6-year contract.
8-year.
To move, 8-year contract, to move to Crystal Palace and take over their Neil Warnock's job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Crystal Palace have just been floating around the relegation zone all season. And Alan Pardew, ex-player, you know, teams always love an ex-player to come back. And people are saying it's a bad move for Pardew because obviously Newcastle are a bigger club, in a better position, better players, but he was so shackled by Mike Ashley. You know, the transfers weren't really under his control, nothing really was, and so at least he's gone somewhere where he can manage.
But then the one thing is, I mean, I do think it's better for him because, you know, he's going to be at a place where he feels maybe loved or something. But then again, the reason why Tony Pulis left Crystal Palace is because he didn't have control over the transfer situation. So they didn't have the same vision. Now, if Pardew is getting those assurances that, hey, we learned from that experience with Tony Pulis, we're going to let you handle this, you know, then I think it's a good move. Otherwise, he could be in the same situation because we've seen how many managers they've gone through recently.
That's true. And it's interestingly enough, it was a similar situation at West Brom where for the last few managers, they've said, you're not in charge of transfers, we are. Mm-hmm. We've got a backroom team to do that. And Pulis allegedly only took the job because he made that deal, that he would have control over the players. Like, allegedly, Alan Irvin had never seen Brownie Day play before. And he was West Brom's biggest ever signing.
wow. As a manager, I think he's good. But anyway.
That's yes, great to have autonomy as a manager with a man in control. Over at the player level, we had an interesting move.
Yeah.
With Fernando Torres.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he can shoot now. You know, it's unconfirmed. But he's moved back to Atletico Madrid.
This was quite astonishing. So Milan wanted so desperately to get rid of him that they had to buy him from Chelsea because he was only there on loan in order to sell him to Atletico Madrid.
Is he sold or is he loaned?
I think he sold. And they got Cherchi in return.
So, but no one knows what the figures are.
No.
Right? So this could have just been, all right, take him off for free. You take him for free. We'll take Cherchi for free.
Yeah.
For all we know, right?
But, I mean, that would be bizarre because Atleti spent near close to 20 million euros on Alessio Cherchi in the summer.
Right.
I guess it didn't work out, but like that would be weird if they gave him away for free at this point.
And 45,000 people showed up to say welcome back.
What passion they have in Spain, but you can't take away that Chelsea are probably the winners in this deal.
Well, yeah.
I think so.
Yet again.
I mean, they were the winners the moment they agreed a 2-year loan with Milan.
They got this guy off the wage bill.
But I mean, very quickly, do we think that Torres might have any kind of renaissance under Simeone?
No.
Okay. Interesting fact.
Possible.
Fernando Torres once captained Diego Simeone at Atletico Madrid. Isn't that
weird? Unbelievable.
Anyway.
That's a good transition into La Liga. They're back from their break and played yesterday. Atletico Madrid scored 3 goals in a 3-1 win against Levante with Antoine Griezmann scoring a brace.
Guys, please take this. I can't talk.
So Griezmann recently had a hat trick.
So yeah,
and now he's added 2 more goals to his tally.
He's kind of. I mean, obviously he's not good as Messi and Ronaldo, but you know how every week like Messi and Ronaldo get 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Griezmann's like approaching that level at this point. Scoring so many goals.
He's in form right now, but it remains to be seen whether he can do it for like 20 games.
Yeah. But I'm saying like recently he's been scoring very consistently.
Yes, he has.
And more than one a game.
It's kind of refreshing to hear about someone else doing very, very well in La Liga.
Yes.
So. What else do we have here?
Yeah, we have Elche versus Villarreal, and we are only mentioning this game. It was a 2-2 draw, and we're mentioning this game because, Bernie, I think your cousin scored a goal.
Distant cousin. But, guys, why is this news? Like, this guy, he scores goals all the time. He scores when he wants. He's my cousin. I mean, come on.
He doesn't want to score that often?
Hey!
No, but
listeners don't want to know the backstory behind that.
He's high flying because he signed a new contract.
Okay. Just so you know, we haven't actually mentioned his name yet, Bernie.
Ike Uche.
There we go.
Yes. Okay, moving on to the next result, which is a big one because it was between Valencia and Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And Real Madrid obviously coming off their 23 game win streak. Yeah, they lost 4-2 to AC Milan in the friendly coming into this game. Big deal. But they lost 2-1 to Valencia.
Sorry, I just felt like doing that.
Was this a fair result?
Yes.
Yeah.
Firstly, the 22 game winning streak completely over.
23.
Was it 23? Yeah. 23. Sorry. Brilliant play by Valencia. Yeah. I thought. You know, Alex, you were saying that I forget who you said it was, but someone said that Valencia are playing like Dortmund used to.
Yeah.
With high press and the energy. And I think that ruffled the feathers of Real Madrid. That being said, Real Madrid wasted chance after chance after chance as if they just got back from holiday. Wait, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. They were free-falling like a skydiving Frenchman.
Yeah, you know, it carries over to the rest of the team, I guess. Benzema's going to get fined for about 2 weeks for this.
Sure.
Real Madrid's still on top of the table, although they have some games in hand over Barcelona, who are currently playing against Real Moisedad.
Yeah.
From home.
It is halftime, and it is 1-0 to Moisedad. Thanks to a Jordi Alba own goal.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that once you hear this, the result will be confirmed.
Course.
And I'm going to predict 2-0 Moisedad.
Let's be fair. There is no Messi in the lineup. There is no Neymar in the lineup. And Pique isn't playing. So Jordi Alba took the own goal for today's game so far.
Yeah, that would be a huge result for Moyes.
Absolutely big result. No, there have been a few yellow cards in this game as well so far, haven't there?
Mm-hmm.
How many more do you think there will be if it's still the same scoreline in the last 10 minutes?
I think
there's going
to be a red card somewhere. If it's a Moyes team, they're going to go rough and tumble.
Yeah. They really are, especially if they're 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go. All the defenders.
Yeah, well, we're going to go and watch the rest of this game now, and I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.